Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute and realize as we come with a heart that is hungry for the Word, the very words of God will come into your heart, come into your life, and as you surrender to Him, He's going to give you all you need to live victoriously. Amen. That's why we're here. We're here because we hunger and seek for the righteousness of God. And did you know we are the righteousness of God? If we truly want to live His Word and desire to give up our best to Him. So why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father God, we look to You now as Your children. We know how much You love us. And our hearts are in tune to Your Holy Spirit's voice. As You speak to us, I pray we're going to take in every word. And we're going to realize it is Your words that comfort us. It is Your words that give us life. And Father, I ask You now, if we're hurting, if we're experiencing trials or tribulations or things that are really making us uncomfortable, I pray right now that Your holy presence will just come forth and just wrap us in Your arms of love. Father, because we need You. We know we're living in a world that seems like it's so confused. Father, we want to put You first above all things. We're trusting and believing in You. I pray that Your words will come alive this very morning. As I speak it, I pray, Lord, You're going to give me the exact words to say to my brothers and sisters so that we're not going to leave here the same person. No, we're going to be more like Jesus Christ. And Father, I know You are here. We welcome You in this place. Have Your way, Lord. Have Your way in this place because our hearts belong to You. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, the title of my sermon today is The Four Stages of Being on Fire for God. The Four Stages of Being on Fire for God. And you know, you probably heard of this statement before, right? When someone gets so excited about serving God, you probably want to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, you're on fire. You're on fire for the Lord. And, you know, when we are on fire for the Lord, you know, the people around us, they know, right? Basically, we're men and women who believe in God for everything and anything. And we have the kind of faith to believe, yeah, we can move mountains. Because when we're on fire, we say, Lord, have it Your way. Lord, just send me there. I'll do anything You ask. And we have the faith and the belief and the trust to know that God will get us there. That God will do anything with our hearts that are fully open unto Him. And you know, now that the year is coming to a close, it's a good time to take a good look at ourselves from deep within. Because when we look deep within our hearts, the Holy Spirit will expose things that we need to make right with Him. Or things that we need to step forward and say, Lord, I need to step it up, don't I? And we must ask ourselves if our faith in God has burst into our towering inferno, or had it become a smothered out flame? Which is it? If you take a look in the past year, how has your faith been? Has it been on fire for God? Or is it smothered out? Because when we examine ourselves, the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is the next step I want you to take now. I know this year maybe hasn't been what you wanted it to be, or you haven't taken those steps. But you know what? Today is the day we can start making things happen if we turn our hearts towards God and say, Lord, I'm believing in You. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless you, of course, fail the test. So a lot of times when we examine ourselves, we're asking the Holy Spirit to take a close look at our heart. And here are five quick self-exam questions that we may ask ourselves to really determine if we are where God wants us to be. I want you to take a listen to these questions that we can ask ourselves. Number one, you can ask yourself, did I experience rapid spiritual growth in 2013, or did my growth get stunted? You know what it means to get stunted? It means to have no growth. Ask yourself, did you grow as a Christian, as a follower of Christ this past year? And if you say no to that, you know what? Make it a point to say, Lord, I'm going to grow from this day forward. Not next year. No, from this day forward, I want to grow in my faith in you. Number two, did I develop such a passion for reading the Bible that it had tremendously impacted and changed my life in 2013? How has your quiet time been with the Lord? Have you been opening up your Bible and just seeking God's wisdom? Or have you left it in a corner somewhere in your house and it's collecting cobwebs and dust? Because, yeah, sometimes we can neglect the Word of God. And sometimes I do. I'll be honest with you. And sometimes the Lord, the Holy Spirit says, get back on track. You need to read my Word. You need to read my Word. This is so important. We got to have a passion to read the Word. Not just say, oh, okay, I got to spend some time with the Lord. Okay, where's my Bible reading plan? Oh, okay, I guess I got to spend some time here. No. Develop a passion. Knowing that God is speaking to you when you open up the Word of God. He's going to give you instructions for life. Amen? Get a passion to open up your Bible and say, I'm ready, Lord. Speak to me. You got to have that passion to read the Word of God. Number three, did I significantly contribute to my church body in 2013? So much so that many people's lives have been impacted by the ministries I'm involved in. You know, it's one thing to say I have a ministry, but has your ministry touched other people's lives? Has your ministry impacted people in such a way that you're seeing marriages being restored? You're seeing lives being renewed? It's a good question to ask ourselves. What have I done for Jesus to impact other people's lives? Number four here. Did I stay focused in the pursuit of God's calling for my life in 2013? All of us have a calling in life. God called you to do a certain thing for Him so that you can impact His kingdom. And whatever that calling is, have you utilized the gifts, the calling in your life that you truly know that things are happening? You know that the world is so lost, but you're willing to go out there with your calling and say, Lord, whatever you ask, I will do. Have you considered yourself to be faithful to the calling that the Lord has given to you? Number five here, did I get rid of most of my unwanted baggage in 2013? What I'm talking about, unwanted baggage, I'm talking about things like unforgiveness, hurts, scorekeeping. You know, sometimes we keep record of all the wrongs that people have done to us. And we hold on to this baggage. And, you know, every year, you know, some people say, oh, I made it a point. This year, I'm going to get rid of all my baggage. And at the end of the year, no. The baggages have been increasing. It's become even more burdensome. And we got to realize the Lord says, get rid of the baggage. It's slowing you down. Because even we, if we may have that passion, fire, that desire to serve Him, if we're holding on to the baggage, if we keep looking in the past, guess what? It's going to slow us down. And the devil knows this. And that's why the devil is going to keep on whispering in your ear. But you remember what happened? Do you remember what that brother or sister did to you? Oh, don't forget. No, man, you've been hurt too much. You can't let go. You know what? We'll slow down. We got to say, Lord, I'm going to let it all go. Because you said, if I don't forgive others, you will not forgive me. And we got to say, Lord, it's all gone. Help me to move forward with you. Today is a brand new day. I'm walking straight towards you, Father. I'm going to expect great and mighty things from you. Amen? You got to keep going with that heart's passion towards God. Do not hold on to the things of the past, because it will slow you down. The thing here to remember, brothers and sisters, is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What is the main thing do you think is in our lives? I got to tell you, first and foremost for me, it's my heart's passion for God. Do you have a passion for God? Because it's one thing to say you believe in God. It's another thing to say, I am passionate for you, Father. I'm so passionate to do whatever you called me to do. It has to be with a passion. Because when you have that passion, you're going to fall in love with the Lord even so much more. Let that passion just come out. Let that fire just burn in your heart to say, Lord, I want to give of my best unto you. And you know, look what it says here in your notes. Jeremiah 29. It says, but if I say, I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. The prophet Jeremiah says, if you zip my lips and you tell me that I'm forbidden to speak the word of God, nah, this passion in my heart will just turn ablaze. Do you have this kind of passion to speak the word of God? Do you have this kind of passion to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask? Because in the case of Jeremiah, he says, there are fire. There's a fire in my bones. Do you have this fire in your bones to say, Lord, I want to give of my best unto you? Because, you know, in this case, God's word is the prophet Jeremiah's passion. It's his word, your passion. Because if it is, you're going to be living it. You're going to be doing the word of God. You're going to see changes happen in your life. You're going to see what God will do when you allow him to let his word sink so deep within your hearts that you truly are exemplary of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, look what Jesus says in Revelation 3, 15 to 16. You guys all know this verse. It says, Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were neither one or the other. So because you are what? Lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And God makes it plain and clear. Either you're all in or you're not. He wants all of you. He doesn't want a part of you. He says, you got to be on fire for me. You got to be totally hot. Otherwise, I'd rather have you just be totally cold. Because if you're lukewarm, you're right in between. You say, oh, sometimes I'm a Christian, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'll do what God tells me, sometimes I don't have to. Sometimes I'll just do what I want. And God says, that's lukewarmness. I don't know you. God says, give me your whole life so that I can transform you, so I can really make you the person that I want you to become. God says, all of you for me. And if we're ready and willing to do that, changes are coming in your life. It's guaranteed. But you must submit fully to the one who cares about you so much. Amen? Give him your whole life. So we're going to look at four stages now. Four stages of being on fire for the God, for our Father God, that may describe your life as we enter this new year of 2014. Can you believe this new year is coming so soon? Wow, it's like this year just zipped by. It just seemed like yesterday was the new year, you know, and now it's like 2014 is approaching. So what are these four stages of being on fire for the Lord? Well, look at number one here. It says, you are in a smoke condition, right in your blank, smoke. A smoke condition. And this is not a good spiritual condition to be in, because think about it, the smoke give heat? No, it doesn't give heat, right? It's kind of billowing, kind of gray, and you know, it doesn't give heat. It gives no light. And it smells good? No, it smells bad. It smells terrible. And people move away from the smoke because it's unpleasant to have in your face. When you get smoke in your eyes, what happens? It stings, right? It's like burns. Oh. And for some Christians, you know, we can become smoke. I hate to say that, but I can imagine there were times in my life I was like smoke. I was saying I was on fire for God, but I was more like smoke. I was irritating my other brothers and sisters because maybe I just thought, oh, this is how it should be done. That's how it should be done. And you know what? I was more of an irritant than anything. And I got to realize, if I'm on fire for God, I got to be in unity with my brothers and sisters. We're going to live in peace. We're going to live in the unity of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. If we truly have the heart to live for God and give of our best to him, you know, we're not going to let our own personal ideas or whatever it is get in the way of our relationships with our brothers and sisters. And we're going to say, Lord, I'm here to have peace with everyone here because you are peace, Father God. And we're always to live in this kind of way, then God will truly bless us. So the question here is, how do Christians get into this smoking condition? Well, look at letter A here. It says, someone has drenched their once ablaze burning wood. And it could have been, right? Just like wood, when it's set ablaze, right? It's burning, it's red. You can see, ooh, the flame is so big. It's just like, wow, so bright. And has someone rained on your fire or thrown a wet blanket on your excitement in Christ? Because, you know, I remember before I became a pastor, I wanted to start a men's ministry group. And I remember, I said, oh man, it'd be so great. Every Saturday morning, get together these godly men that we're going to pray for each other. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to encourage one another. And I got so excited. I said, yeah, we're going to get together so that we can become men of God, that truly God will use us in the world to bring glory to His name. And, you know, I told a friend about it. And, you know, instead of encouraging me, you know what he says? Ben, why you want to do that? Nobody going to come. It's Saturday. Forget that. You're wasting your time. That's what he told me. He said, you know what, Ben? Just scrap that idea. Scrap it. Why do you even think something like that? Brother told me this. And let me ask you, did I listen to his suggestion? Yes, I did. And you know what? Not until like 5-6 years, and that's when I did become a pastor, I realized, man, I really believe we have to have a men's group. And, you know, that's the thing. When we let people determine what steps we are to take for the Lord, that's where sometimes the work of the Lord will not be accomplished. God may be calling you to do something, but someone says, no, don't do that. And suddenly, you're pulled back. Suddenly, God may say, go for it. But no, this person is pulling you back, pulling you back, pulling back. No, you can't do it. No, no. And then you go, okay, maybe I can't. And you start walking in the opposite direction. Brothers and sisters, it's so important that we always stay in tune to the Holy Spirit's voice. Don't ever stop listening to His voice. Because as He's speaking, He will give you instructions on what He wants you to do to further His kingdom's glory. We just stay in tune to that voice. We will not go wrong. We listen to our other brothers and sisters, but we listen to His voice first. Amen? That's where you will not go wrong in life. God will always speak to you as you tune in and you say, yes, Lord, I know this is you. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to just continue to move forward with you. And God will get you far. Amen? But you must listen. You must seek Him with your whole heart. And then God will do His part. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy 1:6. It says here, for this reason, I remind you to what? Fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He's saying, you know, God has given you a gift. And sometimes we may run with this gift. We know what it is. And we see the fruit. We see the miracles. We see the power of God being displayed. But sometimes we can get a little tired. Or we can just say, oh, everything's going okay. I can just relax. And suddenly our flame is dying down. The passion we once had is just like no longer there. And what does Paul say? Fan the flame. Just think about this. If you ever lit charcoal, sometimes I put like the whole tin can of the lighter fluid. I know I'm not supposed to do that. I go, shh, 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 shh. And I just put like the whole bottle almost, you know, on the charcoal. Then I put the match. Go, whoa! And I said, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. But you know, that's the thing. When sometimes, we light the charcoal. We realize even that flame comes. What happens? It can die down. And how do we get it going again? Gotta fan. Gotta fan the flame. That's what it is also with the work of God. Sometimes we gotta fan it. How do we fan the flame? You gotta get excited. You gotta go back to your mission statement. You gotta ask God, what did you call me to do? And as you hear from the Lord, He's gonna speak. He says, oh, this is what I called you to do, remember? And as we go back to that, we remember, okay, Lord, I know what I'm supposed to do. We fan that flame. Say, Lord, give me that passion to serve you once again. Give me that passion to do whatever you ask. And as you do it, oh, that flame will start to get ablaze again. Don't let that flame die down, brothers and sisters, because the devil, he wants it to die down. But don't let it die. Fan it. Fan it. Say, Lord, I'm seeking you. Lord, my heart belongs to you. Lord, whatever you ask. Because you know what? We got to keep this flame going regardless of all the negative words you hear or the discouragement that may come right in your face. As you say, Lord, no, I hear you. Lord, I'm going to keep going towards you. I'm going to keep walking with you. I'll do whatever you ask. Don't let that flame die down. Amen? Keep that flame ablaze for the Lord. Well, letter B here, it says, as a watchman, they fall asleep at the post. And just think about this for a second. You guys ever sat around a campfire? I mean, how is it like sitting around a campfire? Does it stress you out? Or does it give you peace? If you sat around like a campfire around, you know, like with your friends or your family, it has a soothing effect, doesn't it? You're just looking at the flames, they're kind of like dancing, and you can hear the, and you just like, you see the flame just almost like dancing right before your eyes. Sooner than you know it, it kind of lulls you to sleep. I've done that before where I'm just sitting around the campfire, I'm going. And I'm just at peace. I'm so relaxed. And that's the thing, right? We realize a campfire can do this. And sometimes, you know, we can be so on fire for God, but sometimes the fire can make us be lulled to sleep. Can you see that? We may have that passion fire, but sometimes we got to be careful. It may relax us to the point where we're going to start to say, you know what? I can just take it easy now. Oh, God's work? Oh, it's okay. I'll take a break. The only problem is we take a break that is longer and longer and longer. Sooner than you know it, we're out of ministry. Say, oh, but flame. Wow, look at it dance. And the devil's right there. Yeah, isn't it pretty, Ben? Oh, yeah. And the Lord is saying, Ben, you got work for me to do. You got kingdom work. But Lord, I'm focused on the flame. I'm mesmerized by the flame. And God says, Ben, people are hurting. There's lost people in the world, Ben. Lord, the flame. You got to be careful of this. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through me right now. This is not in my notes. I got to tell you, the Lord is telling us, be careful. Do not be lulled to sleep. Especially if you believe these are the end times. The devil wants you to fall asleep. He doesn't want you to do anything for the Lord. And the Lord says, no. So many people need to hear my word. So many people need to know that I love them. Do not get mesmerized by the flame. Get forward. Move forward with God as He calls you. He'll give you boldness. He'll give you everything you need to live a life that is so blessed. So filled with His holy presence as you trust in Him. I want to read to you Matthew 25:1-13. Look at your notes here. It says, at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became what? Drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And Jesus is telling us, keep the flame burning. Always be ready. Because, you know, if he comes back, are you ready? Are you ready? Is your heart ready to receive the King? That is so important, because if we know these are the end times, the signs are all there, we got to ask ourselves, is our heart ready? God says, make sure your oil is constantly burning the flame in your heart to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, to do what you've called to do. Do not let that flame die down, because that can happen to a lot of us. We let the fire become so much to the point it starts putting us to sleep. And that's a dangerous place to be. God may be saying, get your eyes off of the flame and get fired up for me, God says. And he will empower you. He will strengthen you to do whatever he's called you to do. But you know what? If this does describe you, there's good news. Because if you kind of feel like you're looking back through the year, and you kind of realize that your flame is kind of like getting smaller, it's getting to the point where it's almost non-existent. You know what? Look what it says here in Isaiah 42:3. It's in your notes. Look at that. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. So if you're hurting, you're like a bruised reed. You say, I'm not going to break you. Or if you feel like you're a smoldering wick, you know, a smoldering wick, you know, like on a candle, if it's starting to kind of like fizzle out, Jesus says, I'm not going to snuff you out. I'm a God of justice. In his faithfulness, if you tune back into the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to get your flame burning bright again. You must listen and say, Lord, I'm sorry for getting a little lazy there, or for getting a little sleepy. Lord, my heart is ablaze for you again. Help me to get back on track. Brothers and sisters, we can do it. It's not as complicated as you think. Just say, Lord, help me. My heart want to go on fire for you again. And just go from there. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. Amen. He will charge you up once again. And we got to realize, if it is that case, we got to start fanning the flame again. Fan it. Fan it. And you will let that passion just come right back into your mind, into your soul, into your spirit once again. Start fanning it. Don't let it die out. Because some people say, oh, but it's almost dead. Well, you know what? You can bring it back to life, because God will bring it back to life. Amen. He is the one that will bring forth the abundant life, as you trust in him, as you believe in him. Look at number two here. The next type of fire is just the hanging around the fire. And what do I mean by that? You know, it's just as in the case when Jesus was taken by the officials. And you remember what Peter did? He followed along, right? Look what it says here in John 18:15 to 18. It says here, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. And the girl asked Peter, you guys remember this? You are not one of his disciples, are you? The girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, what did Peter reply? Oh, I'm not. I don't know Jesus. It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. What was Peter doing? Was he in the fire, or he was standing around the fire? He was around the fire. He was warming himself with the fire that other people had made. You see that? And Peter wanted to see what will happen, but he didn't want to commit. He's just taking off the heat from others. Does this sound familiar? Because, you know, people who do this, they attend church as spectators. And basically, they're the people that watch what everything go on, but they will not participate. They will not get involved in doing the kingdom's work. They say, oh, I'm just going to sit back and just relax. I'm just going to listen. That's it. Nothing for me. After Sunday church, I go home and I'm back to how I was. I'm happy. And God says, no, stop being a spectator. Get involved. Get into the work that will bring forth eternal blessings upon your life. And that's what God has called all of us to do. And then another thing is, like I said earlier, these people tend to live off the heat of other people, right? And I hear this often, you know, a spouse will say, you know what, my husband or my wife, they're strong believers. So you know what, they go to church, they do everything, they serve God. I can just kick back, relax, because you know what, their blessing will fall on me. I can just go to church and, you know, I'll sit in the back. That's all. My wife or my husband, oh, they're doing it all. I don't have to do anything else. That's wrong thinking, brothers and sisters. God called you specifically with a purpose and plan to further his kingdom. And we do not say, oh, my spouse is a strong believer. That's good enough. No, it's not. Or this person may have one foot in the church and the other out in the world. And you can't do that. God says you're either all in or you're not. Because one time someone told me, he says, yeah, pastor, I can go to church. I can do all the right things. And God is pleased with me. He's got one foot in the kingdom of God. But you know what? My other foot, I'll get to do whatever I want to. And I can party it up. I can have a good time. And God says, no, I want all of you, my child. I can't really work in your life unless you give me all of you. God says, all of you, so I can release my blessings from heaven right into your life. God says, give me all of you, not a part of you. And that's what God wants, because he knows if our heart is not fully devoted to him, we're going to get distracted. You know that, right? Because even let's say we give 95% of our heart to God, you still got 5% that it is still not fully devoted to God. And a little thing comes along, oh, you're distracted. Okay, God, 95%. Wait, Lord. And you start moving towards that distraction. And you think you're not moving, but somehow the devil is moving your feet. And you wonder, how did I get here? And you got to realize 100%. No distractions. You're focused on God. So when distractions come, going towards God. You never let go of God. Your focus is fixed on God. And God will get you far. Amen? Oh, he'll get you so far, brothers and sisters. And the last one is, usually they're not willing to take risks and make sacrifices for the Lord. And you know what? We're willing to make sacrifices, you know, because sometimes I hear people say, yeah, I'm willing to invest all my money in the stocks so that I become richer, and this is God's blessings. But when it concerns things of the kingdom's glory, kingdom work, you know, people might say, oh, we shouldn't even spend. Let's get the cheapest one. We don't need to spend too much. You know what? Sometimes, you know, God says, you know, you trust in me, you give the best unto me. Give the best to the brothers and sisters, to the people who come in. God says, I'll handle everything. I'll take care of it. Because when we honor God that way, we're trusting in God. We're saying, Lord, we want to have people come in and realize, you know, your house is filled with your presence. Your house is filled with your glory. And how we represent him, it is based upon our trust, our faith in him. We do not let things of the world distract us, or let the things of the world hold us back from giving our best or getting things of the best for his kingdom. We have to trust in him. God will always provide. I want to tell you about David Livingstone. He's a Scottish missionary that was sent out to Africa. He was asked by the Missionary Society, you know, when he was in Africa, he was called and they asked him, "So, David, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you." And Livingstone, he wrote back, "If you have men who will come only if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all." Can you see this? Sometimes we think, okay, I'll only do the kingdom work if I'm comfortable. If I'm in a place that's fully air conditioned, yeah, I love air conditioned, but that's not important, is it? You're going to say, "Look, I'm sweating, but I'm okay." But praise God, you don't have to be comfortable. Wherever God calls you to go, you say, "Lord, I'm there. Because I want to serve you with my whole life." And as you go with that kind of passion, God says, "Okay, now I'm going to release more of my blessings." We don't need to have a role. We just need God to be our GPS. Just like my brother Lawrence, what he preached about several months ago, about the God positioning system. He will position you exactly where you need to be. You don't have to worry about if there's a road. You just go with faith. And if God is leading you, He will get you there. And God will bring His blessings. It's not you. It's God that will bring His blessings. We just trust in Him. We just believe in Him. And I got to tell you, when you have this kind of faith, things start to happen. It's going to blow you away when you start having faith to believe in God for anything and everything. Amen? Because what is your level of commitment to God? And you know, Elijah, he asked this to the people of God. Look at what it says in your notes in 1 Kings 18 to 21. It says here, "Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But the people said nothing." You notice Elijah didn't say, "If Baal is your God, turn away from him, turn to God." No, he says, "If Baal is your God, go follow him." God wants your whole heart. It's a choice we must make. We must say, "Lord, you are God alone. No one else but you." And it is clear that God wants your full devotion to him or nothing at all. God wants your whole heart. You know, a pastor from Haiti once told this Haitian parable. A certain man wanted to sell his house for $2,000. And another man wanted to buy it very badly because, you know, he said, "Oh, this is what I always wanted." But because he was so poor, he couldn't afford the full price. And after much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the original price with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small nail protruding just over the doorway. Just the nail. He said, "Okay, you make agreement, this nail is mine and I can do whatever I want and that's my nail." And after several years, the original owner wanted the house back. But the new owner was unwilling to sell it. He said, "No, this is my place." So the first owner went out and he found the carcass of a dead dog. And he hung it, guess where? On the nail. And because he owned that nail, right? He said, "I can do whatever I want." And he hung it. He said, "You cannot take it down. This is my nail." And soon the house became unlivable. It became unbearable because of the stench. Can you imagine a dead carcass of a dog hanging right in your doorway? And the family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the nail. And the Haitian pastor's conclusion, he says, "If we leave the devil with even one small peg in our life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it and make it unfit for Christ's habitation." Just one small peg. He said, "Oh, no big deal. Just small stuff. Oh, I can't leave it in my house." Guess what? The devil says, "That's mine." And he's going to hang his dirty laundry on your small little peg. It's so important. When we say we are committed to Christ, anything that is displeasing to the Lord, even if it's just like the minutest thing, you say, "Lord, I don't want this.
I want to be rid of it. I want to make sure my house belongs to you 110%. It's all yours. Even just a little pig, the devil can come back. He will. And we got to say, no, not even a little tiny pig that belongs to the world, that belongs to the devil, will enter into my house. Amen? And God will bless you as you have that kind of heart, that kind of passion. And number three here, it says, the next kind of fire is that you are engaged in battle while in the fire. And I want you to understand, as a believer, we're all going to be engaged in battles, whether you like it or not. This is a choice that, you know, we make, that saying we accepted Christ into our lives. And know that sometimes the storms will come, the fire will come. And, you know, it's how we handle that storm when it comes, how we handle that fire when it comes. Because this is the reality of whether your faith in God is really true. You know, Jesus said that storms would come. But it's important to remember, first of all, brothers and sisters, that the battles we face are just temporary. Because the Bible tells us it will come to pass. As you turn it over to God, your trouble, your tribulation, your trial, it will come to pass. In other words, it's not going to stay there forever. Because a lot of times when I talk to people, they say, Pastor, it's going to stay with me forever. I'm suffering and the hardship will never go away. I said, well, what do you believe about the Word of God then? It says it will come to pass. You trust in God, your problem will not stay. God doesn't want you to be suffering all the time, to be in despair, to be in sorrow. You trust in God. God says, I will take it away. But you must do it God's way. You must trust in Him with your whole heart. Believe in Him for everything. Because if you draw near to God, you win. You will win. It's God's promise. And you draw near to Him by saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm getting in your word. Lord, I'm praying to you. Lord, I'm seeking you. Draw so close to Him that the devil will stay away. Because the closer you are to God, the devil, he knows you're filled with the presence of God, the Spirit of God. He's not going to stay around because he knows he's going to be crushed. So we got to tune in to the Holy Spirit. We got to draw near to Him. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we'll lose. Because there are times in my life, in my Christian walk, where I strayed. And I lost the battle because my heart was not fixed on God. But you know what? During this time, you will gain insight about where you really are in your faith. And that's good. Because then you realize, man, I wasn't really close to God. That's why I lost the battle. And that's why now you make it a point. I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to draw closer to God. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to read His word. And you're going to tell yourself, I won't get back to where I was before. Amen? And you say, you make it a point that you're only going to move forward with Him. You know, recently National Geographic, they ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose. And you know, and basically, the males of these species, they battle for dominance during the fall breeding season. And basically, they fight for who? The females, right? And they literally go head to head, and their antlers are banging each other, just crunching as they collide. You ever seen this? I saw this in National Geographic, where the bull moose, bam! And you see them, they're kind of like, ooh, ooh. And they kind of get composed again. Come on, let's go again. Bam! And they keep going at each other, and you're thinking, hey man, what's wrong with you? And they keep going and going until what happens? The antlers start to break. And they get to a point where, you know, once the antlers break, this is the end. Once the moose sees that, oh, the opponent's antler is broken, he's going to go in for the kill. And we got to realize, man, that's what can happen. You know, if we realize that if we're not strong in the Lord, we're not going to be ready for the battle when it comes. Because, you know, once the antler is broken, that's it. And the heftiest moose with the largest and strongest antlers, they will usually win. But you know what? It's during the summertime, because it's in the fall that they fight like this, right? But in the summertime, the moose will eat continually to bulk up. I mean, they're not going to stop eating. This is what they say. You know the moose? During the summertime, if you see them, their mouth is moving because they're eating. They don't stop eating because they know they got to bulk up. They got to eat the right things. They got to eat a lot of it too. That's how they bulk up and they get their antlers so strong. And you know what? There's a lesson to be learned here for all of us. Because you know what? Spiritual battles, they await us. If you're a believer, guess what? There will be a spiritual battle that you're going to be facing. Because Satan will choose a season to attack. And when he attacks, he'll know maybe you're not at your strongest point. That's when he's going to come in. He's going to lurk around you. Say, okay, I see that this child of God is a little weak in this area in his life. And he's just kind of like lurking around you, getting ready to attack. But if you are full in the Word of God, you're always eating the Word of God. You're always partaking of His power and His wisdom. And you're getting hefty in your spirituality. Your relationship with God is strong. It's powerful. When the devil tries to come and ram you, you're going to stand firm in faith. And he may try to ram, bam, bam. You're going to hold up your shield of faith and say, uh-uh. My Father God is in me. You're not going to win, devil. And he can do all he wants. He'll keep ramming at you, but you're solid in the Word of God. You're firm. You're standing right where God wants you to be. The devil cannot win. Amen. Look what it says here in Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. It says here, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. After you've done everything right, ever since that time you said, Lord, my life belongs to you, you're standing strong. And the devil, he'll try to come whatever he can, to come with whatever weapon or whatever he wants to bring forth in your life, you're standing strong. Because you've been eating the Word of God. You've been eating and partaking of the presence of God. And you know the devil cannot shake you because you have faith. You have faith to move mountains. Amen. Well, number four here, it says you desire to be in the fire. Because number three, right, is different from number three because number three is about, yeah, being the fighter, you're being in the battle. But you know what? You necessarily don't want to be there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It could be that, oh, I don't want to face this, but you know that the devil is attacking. With number four, when you see the fire comes, you say, Lord, just like Isaiah, he says, Lord, send me. I have faith to believe in you. Even though the storm is pretty big, Father, I trust in you. I know this storm is overwhelming, but Father God, you're my daddy God. I love you. You are the one that can get me through the biggest of storms. Lord, send me. I'm ready to walk in that fire with you. You see the difference? It's the heart's desire to say, Lord, I don't fear anything. Because, Lord, I know you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You know, I think of David Livingstone again, that missionary I mentioned earlier. You know, he's a pioneer missionary to Africa. Did you know he walked over 29,000 miles in Africa? He didn't go by car or by, you know, whatever transportation. He went by foot. He walked from home to home telling people the good news of the gospel of Christ. And let me tell you, in Africa at that time, there were like cannibals. And he knew his life was in danger. There were a lot of people that hated Christians too. But he says, Lord, you sent me here. I trust in you. I believe in you. And he went with passion. He went with fire, knowing that God would be there for him. But you know what though? Here's the thing. His wife died early in their ministry, and he faced stiff opposition from his Scottish brothers in the faith. And did you know he also ministered half blind? He could barely see, but he still managed to go door to door and preach the word of God mightily. You know, in his diary, this is what he writes. He says, "Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me, Lord, but sustain me. Sever me from any tie, but not the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart." Wow. And he says, "Lord, I'm never going to stop losing my passion to serve you." Wow. Do we have this kind of passion? Because if we do, oh, we're going to see a lot of fruit being bore for the kingdom of God because we have faith to believe. And you know, this was also in the case of Daniel's friends, his buddies. You know, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's in Daniel 3. I'm going to start reading here from verse 16, and you'll come in at verse 24 in your notes. Just listen for the first part. It says here in Daniel 3, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up.'" Because basically Nebuchadnezzar says, everyone must bow down to this idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, no way. In verse 19, he says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the burning furnace." Look in your notes in verse 24. It says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?' And they replied, 'Certainly, O king.' And he said, 'Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods.'" And a lot of people believe this is an angel of the Lord, or some people may believe this is even Jesus. But it says in verse 26, "Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them." You can see they had the passion's heart to serve God. Their hearts were on fire, and God showed himself strong in the fire. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we may be facing a fire today. The question is, are you drawing close to God? Because in the fire, you will walk with God. In the fire, you will gain freedom. God will set you free. And your enemy's plans for your destruction will be destroyed. It's guaranteed. Because if your enemies are out to kill you, out to destroy you, God says, no, that won't happen because you belong to me. Because you know what? Surrendering yourself is the key to the fire. Are you fully surrendered to God? Your heart must be all in the kingdom of God. I want to conclude by telling you about a man named Fritz Kreisler. And you know, he's a very famous violinist who testified to this very point about the importance of surrendering yourself to what God has called you to do. And this is what he says. He says, narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, and week after week, for years, I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that I traveled was a narrow road, and the way was hard. And the question is, what are you trying to master today? Because, yeah, there are things that, you know, we can master, an instrument or whatever it is. But God calls us to master the way of Jesus Christ. Because when we get distracted, when our focus really isn't on the Lord, we're going to get sidetracked. Our flame will start to fizzle out. And we got to realize, we got to get refocused once again. Because truly, there's only one master. His name is Jesus. Look in your notes here in Colossians 3, 23 to 24. This is the last verse here. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is who? It's Christ. You will gain an inheritance. God says, all that I have belongs to you. But we got to make sure our master is not the world. Our master is not somebody or someone. It's Jesus Christ that is our one and only master. And if you really believe that you have made this decision, that I have decided to follow Jesus with my whole heart, know that God's going to bring forth his greater and greater blessings. I want to end by showing you this video about this family that made the ultimate sacrifice for God. Can you go ahead and roll that video, please?
Oh, like that, he had one final opportunity. This time to save his son. And yet he continued to save. Even though that man and his family died on that day, something remarkable happened. A seed was planted in the heart of that village. A seed that began to grow over time. Eventually, he called the community together in that very same neighborhood, in that very same square. And he renounced his former faith and declared his allegiance to Jesus Christ. And a celebration broke out in that moment. The gospel began to flourish and to grow in that community, not just in that village, but across the whole region. Because they had seen a real thing. And they knew the true character of God because of the family that believed and sacrificed even under the penalty of death.
Praise God. You know, when I was watching this video, you know, the Lord showed to me, you know what's even better than an individual whose heart is on fire for God? You know what's better than that? Family. Family that is united in the spirit of Christ, that is on fire for the things of God. You know, at first I'm thinking, oh, that means like, husband and wife, and the children. The Lord said, yes. He says, it extends beyond that for them. Talking about the church family. As brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we as one body? One body. United to say, Lord, my heart is on fire for you. One body. Our heart is on fire to serve you, to give up our lives fully to you, because we know these are the end times. These days are evil. And we're going to stay in one spirit, united in Christ. Our hearts are on fire for you. God told me, I know the Holy Spirit has spoken right in here. He says, then there are more churches like this today in this world. Oh, my kingdom's glory, oh, will just take a hold of everybody's heart. Oh, my presence will be so strong in this world. Everyone's heart, every church has the same passion, the same desire to give up our best and to Him. Why don't we go ahead, just bow our heart, just come to our Lord God in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Lord, we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Father, I ask you right now, let your Holy Spirit come. Fill this entire place right now. Send forth your holy warrior angels, your ministering angels, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your presence just fill this entire world. Oh, Father, as we decrease, may you increase, Father. Let the Holy Spirit just speak to you right now, brothers and sisters. He's touching your heart. He's convicting your heart. To say, it's time. It's time to take a step of faith for me. Believe in me for everything and anything.
because the days are evil. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The Lord says, I called you. And if you are ready and willing to do the kingdom work, I will show more and more of myself unto you, God says. Father, that is something that you're speaking to us right now, where you just let it just get so deep within our hearts. And with all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and you're saying, Lord, send me. I want to get into that fire and do the work you called me to do. I have no fear. I don't fear man, because, Lord, you are the one that will sustain me. You are the one that will take care of me. I trust in you with my whole life. And if that's the cry of your heart, you say, Lord, I'm ready to serve you with my whole life. And you raise your hand and say, that's me. Lord, send me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, send me. I want to go in the fire, Lord. Send me. Praise God. Your hands up just for a few seconds here. Just say, Lord, that's me. Send me, Father. Hallelujah. Let the Lord just come in right now. Just let Him fill your mind, your soul, your spirit with His holy presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you see all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, send me. I'm willing to go in the fire, Lord, because I love you. I trust in you with my whole life. Father, strengthen us, empower us to do great and mighty works for your kingdom. Father, I know your holy presence is here right now. If any of my brothers or sisters are lacking anything that we know is of your goodness, I pray, Lord, will you just fill, overflowing of your goodness, more love, more peace, more joy, more of your power in their lives. Because we know we got a lot of work to do for your kingdom's glory. And we are ready and we are willing. Anything you ask, Lord, we are willing. Father, continue to fill my brothers and sisters with more and more of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now for some of you, maybe say, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What do I do? How do I get started? You can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you're ready and willing to accept Jesus into your life, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. He wants you to be welcomed into His family of believers, His family of His children. But you must make this decision to say, yes, Lord, I receive you. If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, don't resist it, brothers and sisters. Say yes to Him today so you can start downloading His power, His presence, His blessings upon your life. If you want to say yes to Jesus Christ today, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Him into my life. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand up. Say, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. You put your hands down. Just repeat this prayer after me and mean it from your heart. God is listening right now, and He knows if you are serious about giving your life, and He will gladly take it, and He will bless you. He will empower you. Just repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Say, Father God, I need you, and I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you, and I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross, but on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins,
You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, that may be holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him. And I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.
Happy birthday to you.
Praise
Excellent.
Yeah, we gotta do it. Reach up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Restricting a God-sized deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is weird. Yeah. Yeah. God gave us, you know, this message here for a reason. Because we know, so we're just gonna believe in God.
Yeah.
God's gonna bring it. God's gonna bring it.
Okay.
Love you, man.
The handicap was trying to get through or something.
Okay.
Praise God!
Okay.
Listen,
yes.
Thank you for the